around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. David Langford here today. We'd like to welcome everyone to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Monday, August the 1st, 2022, and we are excited about the revival meeting that is coming up just a few weeks away, Labor Day weekend. I want to invite everyone, and I want to encourage everyone to come and be with us and share in the power and in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am certain you will sense the presence of God. I know you will be touched by the presence of God. And like I've said so many times, you do your part, God will make up the difference. That's his job. That's his business. We put forth all the effort that we can toward whatever we do for the kingdom of God. And where there's a lack, where there's a lack of substance, sustenance, whatever is lacking, he, Jesus Christ, will make up the difference. When he said, we need to feed the multitudes, Philip said, 200 penny worth of bread would not feed this crowd. He said, but what do you have? What do you have that I might bless supernaturally? 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. He took that and he fed 5,000 men, plus women and children. There could have easily been 10 to 20,000 people there. And when he got through, they took up 12 baskets of fragment. 12 baskets of fragment. Now, maybe the lad got to take all that home, or maybe Jesus sent a basket home with all the disciples, the 12 he had chosen, so they could feed their families. God is a great big God, and that's why we trust him and we believe him for the impossible. So please, put it on your schedule. Come be with us. Labor Day weekend, September the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. You'll be blessed. 2 morning services on Friday, then 1 evening service. 2 morning services Saturday, then 1 evening service, and then 1 service Sunday morning, and there'll be live music both Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. And again, we are emphasizing singing the old hymns. I've gotten several phone calls from people that are so excited to come just for the music, to hear and worship with the old songs, the old hymns, Ephesians 5 and 19, Paul said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Think about that. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's going to be a great time of worship. And I know God will touch your heart and touch your life if you make the effort to come and be with us. We'll be serving communion after Sunday morning worship service. So we're just trying to fill all the voids that we possibly can in your life and this revival meeting. I believe God wants to move. I know God wants to move, but we have to do our part. We have to do our part. We hear it quoted all the time. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14, 15. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayers that shall be made in this place. One of the powerful statements, one of the key phrases in that passage, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face. And here's the key statement, and turn from their wicked ways. If it's not God's way, it is a wicked way. We are admonished to turn from our wicked ways and turn to Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. Turn from our wicked ways. You see, the revival is not contingent upon America. The Bible is not contingent upon nationalism, populism. Revival is contingent upon the church repenting, getting right with God, and seeking the face and the counsel of God. If that is done, we can have a great, great, great Holy Ghost revival. And let me remind you, please, humbly, phone us, email us at the ministry, or drop us a note in the mail saying, I've got five in my party. I need to have a solid number by August the 15th of this month. In the next 2 weeks, I need a very solid number so we can prepare for the seating. You know, I don't want to prepare for 500 and just 100 shows up. I need you to help me with that. And I know if you come, God will touch your heart and touch your life in a very, very special way. Amen. Before we get back into Hebrews chapter 12 today, I want to play a song by the Browns. It's entitled Take Me Back, an old Andre Crouch song. I pray it will bless your heart today.
To make it all alone.
Every one of us should desire to go back to the place where we first believed Christ. The Bible speaks very much to backsliders and people who are backslidden and away from God. I know you don't hear much said about backsliding and backsliders today. I often get letters and emails. Can a Christian lose their salvation? Why, most certainly a Christian can lose their salvation. It's called backsliding. Look it up. Look it up in the Greek. Look it up in the Hebrew. You can backslide and lose out with God. 2 Peter 2 and 21 says, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing and the mire, the dirt." That's a picture of backsliding. I find it amazing because many that are Baptists believe you can't lose your salvation. But isn't it amazing that one has free will up to the point of salvation, and then after you get saved, oh, now you lost your free will? No, you have free will till Jesus returns. Judas Iscariot, they will say, he was never saved. That's one of the biggest lies that's ever been told on Judas Iscariot. Jesus ordained 12 apostles. But in John 13, we see where the devil entered into Judas. He wasn't in Judas in the beginning. But at that point in time, when he committed wholly in his heart to sell Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver, it says Satan entered into him. It was a temptation. He yielded to that temptation. Anytime we sin, we yield to the enemy. We capitulate. This is why some people struggle profusely with particular and certain sins. And I've learned through the years, many people make provision for that sin. They make provision for it. So they have provided a means, a mode, and a method to backslide and lose out with God. My, my, my. It's not worth it. But you can backslide. You can backslide. Hebrews 3:12 says, "But with whom was he grieved 40 years? But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness?" That was Hebrews 3:17. I want to quote Hebrews 3:12. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." That's departure. That's leaving. You go to catch a flight, you have a departure time. You're leaving where you are. If I were to fly out of Charlotte, North Carolina, I would have a departure time in Charlotte. I would have an arrival time in New York. When you depart, you leave God. Thus the warning, Hebrews 3:12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." A heart of unbelief, Paul said, it's an evil heart. And departing from the living God. So you can backslide and lose out with God. We have so many examples. Jude talked about Cain. He talked about Balaam. And he talked about Korah. Those three men are examples to the church. That's the New Testament, the book of Jude, New Testament. You can lose out with God. We want to go back and pick up today here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Again, this speaks of backsliding, going back. And truly, if they had been mindful, if their thoughts were on Sodom and Gomorrah, like Lot's wife, they could have gone back, been destroyed. The same thing happened in the Exodus with Israel. When they got into the wilderness, they were crying for the watermelons, the onions, the leeks, the cucumbers, the cantaloupes. They wanted all the things of Egypt again, and they wanted to go back. They said, Moses, have you brought us out here in the desert to die because there are not enough graves in Egypt? You brought us out here to die? No. God was delivering them. God is trying to deliver and save America right now, but America doesn't want to be saved. America doesn't want to be delivered. America does not want to be a righteous and godly nation. America doesn't want that. I'm talking about generalization. I know those of you listening, you want to see revival. You want to see a move of God. And people keep talking about turnaround, 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 turnaround. I'm so tired of hearing that personally. You'll never see a turnaround until you see a move of God. It takes God. No politician can change this nation into a righteous nation. And for America to be lifted up and to be blessed, it's got to turn to righteousness. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a shame or disgrace unto any people. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Where is the righteousness in America? This is the most vile, sinful, wicked, licentious people I think I've, well, I know in my lifetime. I think I saw the other day where only 7% of Americans believe in Congress anymore. 7%. 7%. That's how far America has fallen. I've given up on a constitutional government. You're seeing, and I said it would happen, persecution. If you are remotely living a just and a righteous life, just simply trying to do the right thing, you are being lambasted, you are being lampooned, you are being eviscerated by the leadership of this nation. Communism has taken over America. These are communist / socialist. I read or heard the other day, AOC has 13 million followers. 13 million. Well, what about that? Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. That's a wicked woman. That is a wicked, wicked woman. Think of what I just said, 13 million followers. I would to God I could just touch 13 million lives for Jesus Christ. But see, they have found a politician that lines up with their ideology, and she knows that, and she is a greater purveyor of the distortion. She is a purveyor of distortion. This is where we are in America. But the patriarchs of the Abrahamic covenant, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Don't think the devil will not afford you an opportunity to sin. Don't think the devil will not afford you an opportunity to turn back on God. Don't think the devil won't afford you an opportunity for you to damn and destroy your soul. Again, it is a choice. The patriarchs, their minds, their affection was not on the country from whence they came. They never looked back. Even though they had opportunity, to go back from whatever and from whence they came. Abraham could have gone back. And what an act of faith. Leave your family, leave your dad, leave your country, and follow me by faith, and I will show you a land. I will show you a place. Everything that you do, Abraham, you're going to have to do by faith, and you're going to have to trust me. And, of course, he did. And he left Terah. He left his father. Terah was an idol maker. He made idols. Genesis 12 and 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. He had to just step out by faith. Leave everything. Country, kindred, and his father's house. Again, demonstrates to me the sovereignty of God Almighty and how that God reached down into a pagan household, a heathen household, and he brought Abram out. Abram didn't look back. And there were no doubt affection in his heart for his country, for his kindred, for his father's house. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above and not on the earth. Don't set your affection on this earth. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims and we're sojourners. To be a sojourner says your stay is temporary. Your stay is temporary. Again, let me take you back to Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the Lord, in departing from God, leaving God, abandoning God. America as a nation and Christianity has departed from God. Modern Christendom has departed from God. I read the other day, someone sent it to me as well, Gary sent me a copy of it, but I read it. Christian nudist camp in Texas. Just because you put the word Christian in front of it doesn't make it Christian. That's one of the greatest misnomers. Well, this is Christian rock and roll music. This is Christian country western music. Christian nudist camp. What stupidity. What absolute stupidity. And in the article, that was the personification in being naked and use Adam and Eve as their example. See, Adam and Eve didn't know they were naked, did they? These people know they're naked. They know they're in rebellion. You see, Adam and Eve were clothed in the righteousness of God. And as soon as they sinned and they knew good and evil, they lost that covering of righteousness. And, of course, you know the story. They sewed fig leaves to cover their nakedness. And they went and they hid themselves. And the first manhunt was enacted by Elohim. Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? Adam's reply, I hid myself. Why did you hide yourself? Because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked? Adam, have you partaken of the forbidden tree? Yes. Now, to show you how stupid, idiotic, and the buffoonery of these people in Texas that claim to have a Christian nudist camp, what did God do for Adam and Eve? He slew animals and made coats or coverings of skin. Everybody says God walked in the garden. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. I know people think sometimes I nitpick, and I say this constantly. I try to be as honest and forthright and accurate as I can possibly be. God himself did not walk in the cool of the garden with Adam and Eve, because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in Genesis 3 and 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. A voice. Well, see, God's omnipresent. So he just spoke and they heard his voice. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence. See, the presence of the Lord was there. His spirit was there. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? See, that was a manhunt. Adam said, I heard thy voice. I heard thy voice in the garden. Again, it's a voice. Psalms 29:4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. It was a voice. I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, Elohim, who told thee that thou wast naked? You were to have never known that. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the blame game begins. The woman thou gavest me. It's your fault, God. Your fault. Church people need to mature and grow up. I said church people need to mature and to grow up and to quit being babies on the milk. When you get on the meat, the potatoes, and the biscuits and the gravy, you'll become very, very, very strong. You'll have great spiritual stamina to withstand the onslaughts of the enemy. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You can only be strong and powerful in the Holy Ghost of God. That's why the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, is called the Parakletos. He comes along to give you aid and comfort. He comes along to give you guidance and direction. He gives you solace. He gives you peace. He gives you tranquility. He gives you what you have need of. And churches are empty, empty of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God does not exist there. Why? They don't want the Holy Ghost there. Preachers don't want the Holy Ghost there. Why? Because there's garbage in their lives. Garbage in their life. They're living in sin. I mean, every week I hear of so-called ministers backsliding, falling into drugs and alcohol and pornography and adultery and whatever other kind of sexual perversion. This is the problem with America. Sin. If you think America's going to turn around because somebody so-called prophesied it, you got another thought coming. Listen, there's a proliferation, I mean an absolute proliferation, an explosion of prophets in this hour. And Jesus said in Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. They're like popcorn and bananas, pop, 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 here, there, everywhere, bunches, bananas, grapes, bunches. And I've noticed this as well. These prophets never prophesy anything about judgment or repentance. It's always blessings. Bless. I'm so sick and tired of hearing that. God bless America. Why should God bless America? Why should God bless America when these people are God haters? They hate God. They hate his word. They hate the word righteous. They hate the word right. He's a right-wing idiot. You better be on the right side of God. Did you know the right hand of God is a place of favor and of power? The Romans believed the left hand was a bad sign, a bad omen. That's where the goats go, to the left hand of God. The sheep go to the right hand of God. All this is in the Bible. You know, I'm not saying something that's not in the Bible. I'm telling you what's in the Bible. Matthew 25 and 33, he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left hand. I've studied enough to know this. Only left-handed men came from the tribe of Benjamin. Now, why? I can't explain it. Why? But in my theological studies, I've come to understand left-handed men came from the tribe of Benjamin. There's a reason God does things that he does, and I can't explain them all because I too am limited. But you want to be on the right hand of God. Getting back to the patriarchs. And truly, if they had been mindful, or if they had desired, or wanted to be carnally minded of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be so. Then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." These patriarchs of faith lived lives of faith and were not carnally minded. And no doubt, when Abram found himself in a precarious situation, it crossed his mind to go back. Why? Because he understood where he came from, familiarity, country, kindred, and father's house. No doubt there came opportunities. Had his mind, if they had been mindful, recreating, reprocessing the good times or whatever it was. See, the devil tries to do that to us today. Reminisce your backslidden, sinful years. Reminisce the relationship you had with that person, you know, 25 years, 30 years, 40, 50 years ago. That's carnally minded. And the devil will try to bring carnality into your mind to destroy your spirituality. Satan will bring carnal things into your mind to destroy your spirituality. Paul said to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Isaiah 26:3, whose mind is stayed upon thee, he will keep him in perfect peace because he trusteth in thee. You see, when your mind is fixed on God, there's peace, there's placidity, there's tranquility, there is solace. Your mind is on the world. The world is a tempest. The world is so filled and full of chaos. That's the power of the world. You see, the patriarchs received a promise and a vision of something far greater, which was found in the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. Their faith constrained them to look forward and not backwards. There was no Messiah coming out of Egypt. The patriarchs were encouraged to go forward, to keep pressing on. Paul said it like this in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13, 14. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Notice how he starts that phrase in verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't seized the world. I haven't gotten control of the world. That's not where my love is. That's not where my affection is. I've not apprehended everything. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You need to forget the past. The past has no future, and your future has no past. So many people live in the past. I said so many people live in the past. The past is gone, folks. What the Church of the Living God used to be, it is not today. Now, you can go back, like the song I played earlier, Take Me Back. You can go back to the foot of the cross. You can go back and receive your sight. You can go back and have your first love restored. Revelation 2, 4, 5, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Anybody remember your first love? Your first love, the affection, the zeal, the willingness, the effort that was put forth? When you first got saved, you put forth so much effort to know more about Christ. You wanted to know more about His Word. You went out, most of you, and you bought you a good Bible. You wanted to study the Word. But in due time, the Word lost its gleam. The Word lost its shine. The Word seemingly lost its power and effect in your life. But you cannot diminish the Word, but you can diminish. You cannot diminish one Word of God, but you yourself can diminish and perish and fall by the wayside. Thus, you have to keep the fire burning ever so brightly and hotly in your life. It needs to be a heated, hot fire of Christ burning in your life. People don't have that today. Well, they got time and money and effort for everything but God. We're told in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, people are seeking the things more than God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You see, that's why America is no longer a righteous nation, because America does not ever seek to do the right thing. The Strategic Petroleum Reserves. Old Joe, sending our oil to China and to India, and gas prices are going off the charts here. Do you think that is self-centered or self-serving? Some people believe it has a direct connection to his son, Hunter Biden, a company that Hunter was a part ownership in. Sending our oil to foreign countries, and then Biden is dressing down, assaulting, attacking the oil industry, the owners of service stations, yet he's giving our oil to a foreign country, to a foreign entity, and then on television, see, he wants you to think he's doing the right thing. These people are crooks. These people are crooks. The whole world lies in wickedness now. This is why the world is not your home. And if you don't keep your eyes fixed on Christ, you'll lose out. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. America is a perishing nation. The church as we know it is perishing. That is a powerful word, perishing. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Sadly, America and the church is perishing. I've written so many newsletters in the last few weeks trying to get a little bit ahead of the game with the conference and all coming up, the revival meeting. But I was talking about, it seems as though America and the church has no longer any significance in the earth. The church was to have been salt and light. And he said, set your light on a hill, like Capitol Hill. But Capitol Hill is one of the most darkest, deplorable, despicable places on the planet. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because evil people live there. They reside there. They're crooked. They are bribed. They are co-joined with evil. They are the embodiment. They are the personification of evil. Liars and cheaters and dishonest, and they can be bribed and they're venal. They're just absolutely corrupt. You can change 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 congressional seats and 4 to 8 senatorial seats. It ain't going to make any difference because you plug good people into the system and they become corrupt. See, they become corrupt. Good apples never make bad apples good, but bad apples make good apples bad. You can take all the good apples you want, throw them into a barrel of bad apples, and those good apples will not turn the bad apples into good ones. But you can throw all the good apples you want to in a barrel with bad apples, and the bad apples will make the good apples bad. And that's where we are in America. And that's why the church is soiled and sullied and stained. The only thing that can remove the stain of sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. It must be the blood of the Lamb. Nothing more, nothing less. It must be in the blood. That's the atoning factor in everything. The blood of Jesus Christ atones for sin. Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. The blood atones for sin. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. The blood of Jesus Christ. And all of those sacrificial offerings and all of the millions of gallons of blood that was shed never satisfied God's demand because all of that shed blood was stained and soiled and sullied with sin. But oh, here came one of the line of the tribe of Judah who would be conceived through the Holy Spirit of God, and his blood would be pure and holy and righteous, and his blood would atone for sin. Oh, I get to talking about the blood, I get happy. Because I know what set me free from sin. I know what redeemed me. The blood of Jesus Christ is the redemptive element. We're told in Hebrews 9:22, that we're in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. But Hebrews 9:22 says, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Without shedding of blood, the word remission means forgiveness. Without shedding of blood is no forgiveness. How do I get forgiveness? Through the blood of Jesus Christ and the blood alone. His blood atones for sin. His blood atones for sin. Now, to show you the fact that Abraham and others had knowledge of God, they made sacrifice. This is before the Mosaic law, folks. The law is bookended with grace in Genesis and grace in Revelation. And so it was. But they made animal sacrifices. And even Elohim asked Abraham to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice, which we know the story. He did not. God provided himself a lamb, the ram caught in the thicket. That's what Abraham slew, a blood sacrificial offering through the ram. And as Abraham promised or prophesied to Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb, a sacrifice. And he did. They offered to God sacrifice for sin. As I said, Genesis is one bookend of grace, And Revelation is the other bookend of grace. Revelation 22 and 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Why? We live under grace. Grace. And without shedding of blood is no remission. There can be no forgiveness of anyone's sin except it be through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. It must be through his blood. Now, these patriarchs were just like you and I. You know, sometimes I've heard people make statements, I'd like to have been there in that day. I'd like to have been on the earth during the day and life of Jesus Christ, his ministry. Some say I'd like to have been with the Apostle Paul and travel with him, et cetera, et cetera. You're in biblical days. You are in biblical days right now. The world is chaotic. The world is uncertain. You know, there's a big move right now throughout the entirety of the world to lessen globalism. You know, Boris Johnson is gone. See, there's a move right now in the earth to stop globalism. That means there's a push to stop the Antichrist from coming on the scene. But as I've said so many times, if the church could not keep prayer in school and the church could not stop abortion, the church will not stop the revelation of the Antichrist. The truth is, we need to get more spiritual and discern the time clock of God. We need to become more spiritual and discern the time clock of God. This is why they don't want Donald Trump to run. They're going to do everything they can to stop it. And that may be bring us to the point of civil unrest and civil war. You see, the tyranny of leadership in this country is provocative. It's provoking people to do things they would not normally do. And there will come a point in the not too far distant future when they're going to push, and there's going to be push back. There are those in America who are not going to relinquish their Second Amendment rights. They're not going to do it. Hitler, that was the first thing he done. He had the guns registered, then he went and confiscated them. See, all of... Listen, history repeats itself. History doesn't change. It just repeats itself. Different characters, different time frame, different country, different monarchy, whatever you want to call it. But men are fundamentally the same always in their hearts. Men without God are evil. Men without God are evil men. Women without God are evil women. You don't believe women are evil, and I don't watch it. I've seen enough and read enough. The View, ABC's program with the women, The View. God haters. God, mock God. Mock speaking in the Holy Ghost. Mock God to no end. And that's the kind of garbage people listen to, feed their lives and their minds and their conscience with this garbage, and you wonder why America is so corrupt and evil. You wonder why people create what they call a Christian nudist camp and think they're right with God. How can that be right with God? Even the demoniac at the Gadarenes was naked. But when Jesus got through with him, he was clothed and in his right mind. Jesus had clothes put on the man. But these buffoons, these people who try to bamboozle you, they're the ones that are deceived. They're the ones that are blind. They're the ones that don't know the truth. And yet they want you to believe they know the facts up one side and down the other, and we are the buffoons. We are the idiots. We are the dumb, stupid ones. I'm not dumb. I'm not stupid. I may look that way in the eyes of the world, But that's not what I am. I may look like a fool to the world, but I'll be one of the wisest men for all eternity because I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in Luke 16, verse 8, "For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." I can tell you where I was. I was in Princeton, North Carolina. I was laying flat on my back in a sanctuary at a church, praying, communing, fellowshipping with God. And I said, "God, that scripture bothers me. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." I said, "It sounds as though you're condescending, you're belittling, you're demeaning your church and making the world appear smarter than we are." "Oh, no," he said, that's not what that's about. They just look like they're smarter because they lie, they rob, they cheat, they plunder, they pillage. Christians don't do any of that. So the children of this world and their generation, whatever generation that you may be living in or have lived in, et cetera, the world always looks smarter because they're liars and cheaters. Why do you think Congress, nearly 200 of the congressional seats, 435 congressmen, 100 senators, over 200 or thereabouts have lawyer degrees? Why? Because they're always messing with words and verbiage. Always. Always. We need grassroots people. That institution needs to be burned down to the ground and start over. They're all crooked. I have no confidence in any congressman. I don't care who you name me. They're tainted. They are soiled in some capacity because the place is rotten. The place is corrupt, folks. That's why the patriarchs left their country, even though they had many opportunity to go back, but they kept looking for that city which was to come. What was the city? What is the city? The city is New Jerusalem. It's called New Jerusalem. Why new? Because God is not going to suffer New Jerusalem to set on an old planet known as earth, which is corrupt. I said this years ago. The earth is sick. All of these soiled, sullied, and stained, and contaminated, sinful, wicked bodies are planted, sown back into the earth. And the earth is sick. The earth is sick. I know the spirit and the soul went to hell. But the rot, the ruin of their lives and lifestyle is buried back into the earth. What I have said today may not sound like having faith in Jesus Christ. Today's a warning. Today's a warning. Don't toy. Do not play with God. Do not think you can live anyway and enter into the kingdom of God. Many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Don't forget that passage found in Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. That passage right there is such a powerful passage. They're going to seek to enter in, and the Bible says they shall not be able. Not going to make it. Luke 13:24. "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for I say unto you, many will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Strive to enter in at the straight gate. "For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Why are they unable? Because they're not redeemed. You got to be redeemed by the precious, precious blood of the Lamb to get in to the eternal kingdom of God. Before I go off the air today, let me remind you of not my book. It is a book written by Leonard Ravenhill, "America is Too Young to Die." If you want a book that'll set your heart, set your soul on fire, that will spiritually challenge your prayer life, your Bible study, You want a book that will challenge you spiritually. Read something that's full, chock full of the scriptures, the Word of God. Get this book. I regret I have to charge $25, but found out the other day stamps now have gone to 60 cents a piece. 60 cents a piece. It won't be long. It'll cost me a dollar to mail you an envelope, a thank you note. It's cost that now, if not more, by the time you pay for the envelope, the stamp, the paper, the ink, and the time to print it.